You know, our choir in Canarsie would not win any awards. We are called the Choir of the Joyful Noise. But we always tell the people, make sure you always end on a good note. You know, sing it out at the end. They'll forget about all the mistakes up till then if you really let it out at the end. And we're getting better and better all the time. I sometimes joke about our choir, and maybe that's not kind. They're lovely people, and they sing with all their hearts, and some have lovely voices, and not everybody's gifted that way. But there's a sweet touch of God upon that choir. And usually we have a hot number ready when Ozone Park has their meetings. We have just celebrated Easter. We've been working night and day to get an Easter song together. And then at the end of April or somewhere in April, Brother Ernie has a week of meetings. And so we get the choir together and say, let's sing that song in Ozone Park. And we've done that a few years now. And I've always been very pleased because people come up to me afterwards and they say there was such an anointing upon that singing. And that means everything. And they sing with all their hearts, and it even sounds good in Ozone Park. It always sounds better in Ozone Park than it does in Canarsie for some reason. Maybe it's the acoustics.
Praise God.
There's just one thing yet that I want to talk about tonight, and I want to try to end on a good note also. And yes, I will be brief. According to my own definition. Well, I yawned today and someone said, Brother Kenny, don't fall asleep during a meeting. And I said, if I fall asleep while I'm preaching, please wake me up. Praise God. I'm going to touch upon something that I've spoken about at camp before. I know I have. But it comes out of John 21, and that's the chapter that the Lord put on my heart to look into each day of this week. And I'd like to talk tonight about the fire of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. No Pentecostal gathering is complete without talking about the Holy Spirit and His ministry. And of course, that has certainly come up in our meetings, woven in all the things that we have been talking about. When I attended the Assembly of God Church out in Shirley, Long Island, I was a teenager, and I was in the youth group, and we had three sisters, Italian sisters, and their names were the Tomasi sisters. That sounds Italian, doesn't it? Tomasi? And they looked Italian. They sounded Italian. And they sang together. And they sang trios, obviously, and they harmonized very beautifully. And they had a few numbers in their repertoire that we would hear over and over again. And one of the songs that I never forgot, and that was always a blessing to me, was a song called Lord, to My Heart Bring Back the Springtime. Do you know that song? George Beverly Shea sang it for us the other day over the PA system. And it didn't sound anything like the Tomasi sisters, but I did recognize the song and the words. And in the chorus, it says, Lord, to my heart bring back the springtime, take away the cold and dark of sin. Oh, refill me now, sweet Holy Spirit, may I warm and tender be again. And he repeats that over and over again in the chorus. Take away the cold and dark of sin. You know, we live in a cold, dark world, don't we? It's that way for many people. And we find it that way as Christians sometimes too. This sin-cursed world is a cold and a dark world. And that can get into us if we're not careful. And we need to pray, Lord, to my heart bring back the springtime. You know, the springtime when the sun begins to shine again and the warmth of the sun begins to come upon the earth and things begin to come alive again. Take away the cold and dark of sin. Refill me now, Sweet Holy Spirit, make me warm. Warm toward God and tender. Let me be again. In the Gospel of John, we read of two fires. And the first fire we read about is a fire that was kindled by the enemies of Jesus. And we read that in John chapter 18. Let's just look at that quickly. We've spoken about some of these things already, so I won't take too much time in repeating the things that we've already gone over. But in John chapter 18, we read of Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas led the way, and the soldiers and the high priest followed him into the garden. And Judas knew that Jesus would be there with his disciples, away from the crowd. And they wanted to seize that opportunity to arrest him. And it tells us that Simon Peter followed Jesus in verse 15. And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, spake unto her that kept the door, and they brought Peter in. And then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Here we see Peter, follower of the Lord. And in the time of Jesus' trial, Peter is following afar off, frightened, keeping his distance. And somehow he gets into the palace of the high priest there, into the courtyard. And the Bible says that it was night, and it was cold. In the 13th chapter, after Jesus had eaten the Last Supper with his disciples, it said, the devil put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. And it says, and he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And then when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Jesus spoke to them. And in Luke 22, he tells them, I preached openly. Nobody arrested me or gave me any problem then. He said, but now it is your hour and the power of darkness. And so it was dark and it was cold. And Peter warmed himself by the fire that the enemies of Jesus kindled. And as he stood around that fire, they looked at him, and others began to recognize him. They remembered that they had seen him in the garden. It was Peter that took his fisherman's knife, I suppose, and swung it and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And in his effort to defend Jesus, but Jesus told him to put his sword back in its sheath. They that live by the sword shall die by the sword. And he said, this is my Father's cup that he hath given me to drink. Shall I not drink it? And then he picked up that ear and he placed it on that man's head and healed him perfectly right there and then. And somebody recognized Peter there. And as we continue reading in the 18th chapter of John, it says here, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself in verse 25. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman or relative, whose ear Peter cut off, said, didn't I see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. In Luke 22:61 and 62, it tells us, at that very moment, Jesus was passing by, he bound and being led, and as he heard the rooster crow, he turned and looked into the eyes of Peter, and Peter was filled with such guilt and remorse and shame that he went out into the night and wept bitter tears. He wept bitterly, the Bible tells us. A fire in the Bible is often a picture of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, we read about the fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire that God sent down from heaven. And we recognize that to be the picture of the Spirit of God. Moses stood before a burning bush, and so on. And you can follow that through, that imagery. And so the fire speaks of the Spirit. But this fire is not a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the spirit of the world. It's the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. It's the fire that the enemies of Jesus lit. And God's children have no business warming themselves by that fire. And yet we find ourselves there too often, don't we? In Ephesians 2, it talks about the spirit of the world. Let's see where that is. And you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its sinful desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. In other words, it was natural for us to live in sin before we knew the Lord. We were under the power of the enemy. And we were children of disobedience. We obeyed his spirit. We were under the influence of the spirit of the world. We gave into our fleshly lusts and our sinful desires, and we had no problem doing so. He said we were all like that at one time. And here the Apostle Paul calls our attention to that spirit that is working in the world, trying to destroy men's lives and trying to defy the work of God. In 1 John, the apostle tells us, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love not the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he speaks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He said, that is not of the Father, but that is of the world. You know, there are people that they're controlled by those things. If it looks good, I have to have it. If it feels good, I have to have it. And if it makes me feel important, well then, I need that too. The lust of the flesh, if it feels good. The lust of the eyes, if it looks good. And the pride of life, if it makes me something of me, then I have to have that. And there are people that live their whole lives like that. One time there was a young lady in church, and she had gone to college. And I overheard her talking in the vestibule, and somebody said, how are you doing? And she mentioned that she was pursuing a certain career. And she said, I'm pursuing prestige and money. That's what I'm after. And I shuddered when I heard that. I'm pursuing a position where people can look up to me and make over me, and a prestigious position. And I want to make a lot of money. And I thought, where has that girl been? What has she been listening to in church? She's pursuing the very things that we have warned her against, and the Bible has warned her not to seek after these things that gratify our lusts, our sinful desires, but to deny ourselves and to seek the Lord and to seek the things that are above and the true riches that are in Christ Jesus. But I was so sorry to hear that she expressed herself that way. And I've watched her life a little bit, and I've seen that I'm not very impressed with her walk with God. I don't know too much about her. She moved away now and is pursuing opportunities and so on. But my heart grieved over that. I thought, oh God, that's the very thing you want to save us from. She's still under the control of the world. She's still warming herself by the fire that the enemies of Jesus have kindled. You know, when Peter warmed himself by that fire, he felt shame. He felt he denied the Lord. He felt guilt. You know, that's what the fire of the world breeds in our life. And he had warm hands, but he developed a cold heart. And he did things that he never imagined that he would do. Is it possible that Christians can warm themselves by the world's fire? You know, sometimes when I hear of the entertainments that Christians get involved with, the shows they watch, the music they listen to, places they go, I say, Lord, that's the fire of the world. That's the spirit of the world. What are we doing there? Don't we realize what an effect that's going to have upon us when we warm ourselves with the others around those fires? Every once in a while, the topic of dancing comes up in our Christian circles. And some people say, what's wrong with it? The Jewish people danced. Well, the Jewish people didn't dance like I see people dancing at weddings, believe me. And sometimes I go to so-called Christian weddings, and we go to church, we seek God's blessing, we want His touch upon our lives, and as we start a new life together, we want to honor the Lord. And then we go to the reception, and they turn on the worldly music, and they all get out there, and they shake around like dancing around the golden calf or something. And you think, my God, what's going on? Oh, but don't touch that. People don't want to give that up. Christians are supposed to have fun. Well, you can have your fun, but that's all you'll have. And I don't like dancing at weddings. I'm sorry if you danced at your wedding. I wasn't there, so I'm not picking on you. But, you know, I was at a wedding one time, and the people were dancing there, and the mother of the bride walked past me, and she said, where is their testimony? Where is their witness? Where's the difference? She was hoping that her children would, professing to be Christians, that there'd be an obvious difference between them and the world. But that in the midst of that blaring music and those gyrating bodies, there was no difference at all. And no testimony for Jesus Christ. And nobody left there recognizing that this couple was a special couple that had dedicated themselves to God and had the touch of God upon their lives. They went home with the last song just blasting in their heads. Well, I'm not here to preach about dancing tonight and get everybody mad at me. I have other ways of getting you mad at me. But I don't like it, and I know others that don't like it either. It just doesn't seem to be consistent with the spirit of Jesus and the holiness and the purity of Christ. And there are other things that we can talk about. You know, we know every actor and every actress in the world. Every television program and the latest movie that comes out, we know it all. We know it all. And you think, how do we know so much as Christians? What are we doing warming ourselves by that fire? What light does that fire have to offer us? And we don't realize it, that as we're doing it, that we're getting cold on the inside. You can't warm yourself by the spirit of the world and stay tender toward God. That fire will make you cold toward God, little by little. It'll make your heart hard toward God. You'll become more insensitive to the voice of the Spirit, the touch of the Spirit. And it happens so subtly, you don't even realize it's happening. And you begin to lose your testimony and water it down. And you lose that influence. And you don't realize it's even happening. And I suppose Peter didn't know what was going on in his heart there. But as he mixed in with the enemies of the Lord and warmed himself by their fire, his heart grew cold. He denied the Lord. Self-preservation was the most important thing. And everything that Jesus taught him about denying himself and taking up his cross and following got lost somehow. And the end result was shame and guilt and fear. And that's what filled his life. Until he drew near to a different fire. And that's the fire that Jesus kindled. And now we're back to John 21. And we read that when the disciples were fishing, you got it memorized yet? It says that Jesus asked them, did they catch anything? No. And so he told them where to throw the net. And then when they got to shore, it says that they found a fire kindled, a fire of coals, and fish and bread was laying on it, being cooked for them for breakfast. That was the fire that Jesus kindled. Where did that fire come from? Well, Jesus, he got those coals together, and he lit that fire. Our brother Dale mentioned the other day that, you know, it's so touching to read in John 21 when you realize who you're reading about, Jesus, who had been crucified, buried, resurrected, appeared in the very presence of God for us. Now he comes back down to earth, and he's still the very same Jesus, still concerned about the needs of his children, humble and meek and willing to make them a fire, cook them breakfast, and serve them. He never changed. And so Jesus kindles this fire, and Peter is asked to sit near Jesus by the fire. And there Jesus begins to talk to Peter, and we've talked about that. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And he asked him that three times, and one of the translations, I think it was the one that Sarah read the other day, are you my friend? You know, are you my friend? There's different words in the Greek for love, and there's something that was going on there between Peter and Jesus that was more than just the things that we read here and understand by do you love me, do you love me? But there when Peter drew near to the fire that Jesus kindled, he met the Lord there. And that fire, Jesus speaking to him around that fire, had a very wonderful effect upon his life. And as he gazed into the eyes of Jesus there, he saw love. He saw forgiveness. He was restored. God quickened hope, planted hope in his heart again. And God made him to know that he had a purpose to fulfill in his life, and he hadn't given up on him. And so as Peter drew near to Jesus by the fire that Jesus kindled, his heart was changed. The coldness was gone. The hardness melted away. And Peter was tender and able to respond and to follow the Lord once again. And you know, that speaks of the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's the fire that Jesus has kindled. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost that he said, I want you to wait and go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you receive that fire of the Holy Ghost in your soul. And that fire will fill you with the love of Christ and fill you with the power of God and make you to be the servants that God has called you to be. And we know that Peter was among those that were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And there he was the first to stand up fearlessly, boldly. He proclaimed the truth of the gospel to the enemies of the Lord. And there, the Holy Spirit sent his conviction, and they And they fell before him and repented and said, what must we do to be saved? And so on. And he taught them to be baptized and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and so on. And a great multitude of people came in, and God began a wonderful work in Peter and used him powerfully throughout his ministry for the rest of his life. Which fire are you warming yourself by? You know, sometimes we come up to Pilgrim Camp and we come up and say, you know, I haven't been very close to the Lord this year. And as I've been sitting in these meetings, I didn't realize how far I had gotten from God. Well, maybe you've been spending too much time by the wrong fire. God wants to do something about that for you tonight. He wants to open your eyes and make you to see that you need to get away from that fire of the world. Oh, it seems so innocent, and maybe some of the things that people do are not considered sinful. But you know, it has a deadening effect upon your soul. And you'll regret it one day. It draws you away from the Lord, and it hardens your heart toward God. And Jesus is saying, I want you to learn to live close to the fire of the Holy Ghost. Get into my word every day and let that fire burn within your heart. Remember those on the road to Emmaus? They were talking to the resurrected Christ. They didn't even realize they were talking to Jesus. But as they received his words into their hearts, they had to say to one another, didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way and opened to us the scriptures? And the Lord would like to do that for you. He'd like you to get into his word every day and let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in your heart. Burn away your shame. Burn away your guilt. And burn away your despair. And make you to see Jesus more clearly. You know, Peter got such a clear sight of Jesus as he looked into his face around that fire. And God wants to give us a greater sight of Jesus as well. And then you need to get to prayer and wait on God and say, God, cause that fire to burn within me. Send the Holy Ghost into my heart. Let it take over, Jesus. I have a little spark in my heart, but Lord, I pray that it'll become a flame that burns fiercely night and day. Burns away all my sin and dross and sets within me a burning desire for Jesus, to know him and to serve him and to live out the rest of my days for him and him alone. And that's the fire that Jesus wants to cause to burn in our hearts. And he's begun that. I'm sure he's begun that in every one of us. And we don't want to let that fire go out. But we want to continue to fan that flame and let that fire burn more and more brightly as we go back home. And we can determine to do that by God's grace, and God will show us how to keep the fire burning. And you don't want two fires in your life. You just want that one fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost. And help me to get away from the fire of the world. Oh, I don't need their entertainments. What I am denying myself by choosing that fire, it's unbelievable. Oh, if I could see what Jesus has in store for me, if I would really get filled with him and learn to live in his presence, the world would have no attraction to me anymore. And those pleasures, the world could have them because of the joy of the Holy Ghost and the riches, the eternal riches that Jesus Christ shares with me, brings to me. Oh, there's no comparison. Praise God. I'll close with this thought. You know, every winter, not every winter, but often we get snow in New York City. It doesn't stay white very long, but it's snow. And once the cars start driving over it, and then it starts turning black. But when it first comes down, it's nice and white. And, you know, we live in the church. And our Brother Tom lives at Pilgrim Camp. And I have the next best thing, I guess. I live in a church building. And we live in the back of the church. And so easy to go to church on Sunday. I never have to step outside, never have to start my car, put on my coat. I just walk through the door and I'm there. After church, I'm home. I also have no excuse to be late. But what we used to do when the children were young is we used to make snowmen. And we don't have a big backyard. It's you know, I don't know the dimensions, but you wouldn't be impressed if I told you. So we make a snowman in front of the church, and we usually put him there where the people can see him as they walk by and as they come to church. Brother Paul Munsinger one year gave us a snowman kit for the kids, you know, with a nose and a hat and a pipe and eyes and so on. And we don't use the pipe too much. But we put that snowman out, and people would laugh when they saw the snowman. They'd smile when they came into church. And then I thought, you know, that snowman, he ought to be witnessing. He shouldn't just be standing there doing nothing. So I made up some signs, and I would put them on the snowman so that as people walked by, they could read the sign. And one sign I wrote was, "Is your heart cold toward God? Come inside. Cold toward God? Come inside." I don't think anybody came, but I thought it was a nice saying. I knew that there are people that would be walking by, that their hearts are cold toward God, and I wanted them to know that if they'd come inside, Jesus could do something to warm their hearts. Well, I think the Lord is saying that to us tonight. If you find that you're cold toward God, that your heart isn't passionately loving Jesus as maybe you once did, well, Jesus says, come inside and sit, but get close to the fire of the Holy Ghost and let it get into you and let it consume you and live a life filled with the Holy Ghost for the rest of your days and let Jesus Christ live in you and accomplish his will in you and fulfill all his good purpose in your life. You know, it can only be done by the Holy Ghost. And if we don't stay filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to get to the end of our life, and we're going to have to see, we're going to awaken to the fact that there were things that God could have done with my life that I never let him do. But if I would have just let him fill me and made that a priority in my life, that Jesus would have been more greatly glorified, and so much more would have been accomplished. So many lives would have been more powerfully touched for him. And I didn't give him that opportunity because I didn't take his call seriously. God forbid that any of us will have to say that when we stand before him and look back. And if you haven't done very well up to now, well, the Lord in his great mercy is reaching out to you. Do you realize that tonight? And he's saying, come home, come back, get filled as you've never gotten filled before. Oh, I've tried that before. It didn't work. Well, you didn't meet Jesus and you didn't get filled with Jesus and you didn't let him show you what he could do. And we ought to say, Lord, I've tried it before and I'm through trying. Jesus, now I just come to you as I am. And I pray that you will kindle a fire in my heart and you will make me what you want me to be. Amen. Praise God.
Spirit of the living God, oh, fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, oh, fresh on me. Let me only fill
let's sing 'Tis Burning in My Soul. In closing, the fire of heavenly love is burning in my soul. 127. Let's believe God to teach us to live by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Promise I embrace, accepted in my